Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's message is both from the gospel lesson and from the Old Testament reading. Dear friends in Christ, man begins his journey in this world in a garden. Adam and Eve, they're established there in the Garden of Eden. They're surrounded by all of these creatures that God had created. And all of this vegetation, all of the plants that were there that God had created. And there in that garden, the word of the Lord speaks of two trees. First, you have the tree of life. And then the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're told that, of course, both trees were there in the middle of the garden, maybe even side by side. Luther talks about that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He says that Adam and Eve were worshiping there at the foot of those trees, specifically the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because they're showing their love for God by being obedient to His command. That command to not eat of it, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There at the foot of the other tree, they're actually receiving the gift of immortal, everlasting life. Two important trees that are there in the garden as man and woman seek to live and to walk in the presence of their Lord and their God. And then, well, we all know the story. And then there's sin. Adam and Eve disobey God and they eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They give in to the whispers of the evil one that's there in serpent form and that is enticing them when he says, "You will not surely die." And again, Satan says, "You can be like God." And they listen. And they eat. They disobey God. And that worm of sin just burrows right into their hearts. In truth, let's face it, all of creation fell when Adam and Eve fell. When sin entered the world in the form of that disobedience, all of creation becomes infected with this parasite of sin, and this sin separates us from God. We are no longer in a harmonious relationship with Him. We're separated by this dividing wall of hostility that's there in front of us. We're cast out from the beautiful garden. We're removed from the presence of that other tree, the tree of life. The cherubim with the flaming sword guards the path back to that tree because of the disaster that would happen if man were to eat of it and live forever. Man's been cast out of the garden, exiled from the garden, but also exiled from life eternal itself. You see, God knows that if man eats of this tree of life, as a sinner, then the life that's bestowed by its fruit would be a fate worse than death. It would be literally a living hell. Because to live forever, as sin continues to ravage us, to ravage our body and soul, is a curse that's really too terrible to behold. It's horrible. Sin first has to be dealt with. It has to be atoned for. It has to be washed away before everlasting life is a blessing and a joy. Before that everlasting life can be a blessing to us. All that sin has to be washed away. But of course, the question then comes, how do you deal with this sin? The fact of the matter is that because we are sinners, we can't be a part of the solution. Because anything that we attempt is going to be filled with sin. Sin-filled man is the problem. And we are unable to do anything that will solve the problem. See, mankind is kind of stumbling blindly through this journey in life. He can't, even by accident, address the problem of sin. And so life, eternal life, eludes him. A reconciled or a restored relationship with God is an impossibility. The return to what God had originally intended for man from the beginning is now beyond man's reach, guarded by that cherubim in front of the gates of the Garden of Eden. All beyond man's reach. It's not beyond God's reach, obviously. Because just like man was overcome by this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so almost must the Son of Man, by a tree, overcome sin, death, and the power of the devil. See, the issue, the problem, the devastating disaster of sin actually requires another tree. It requires another tree. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus, God's Son, comes and comes into our flesh and blood so that he might crush the ancient serpent, pay the price that's demanded by our sin. That's why he came. Jesus Christ literally came to die. He was literally born to die. Christ comes into our flesh mostly because of the kind of price that's demanded for our sin. Blood. His blood. Only blood can pay the price. Only blood can wash away sin. And only the blood of the Lamb who has no blemish, who has no spot, who is the absolute perfect sacrifice, a holy and precious offering, only the blood of the Lamb is required. Oh, and a tree. See, the Son of Man must be lifted up on that tree, as we read in the Gospel of John, just like the bronze serpent was lifted up by Moses in the wilderness. You see, the tree of the cross, that ancient instrument of torture and death and suffering, is the absolute tree upon which Jesus is lifted up. And on that cross, Jesus suffers and dies. On the cross, his holy and precious blood is shed. On the cross, Jesus lays down his life so that our lives can be restored. A perfect sacrifice, brings salvation and restoration to the very crown of God's creation, to you and to me. So what Jesus does is he turns this instrument of death into a tree of life. His death brings us life. His death brings us eternal life. Our exile from the presence of God has been ended. That exile from the tree of life is over. Christ has taken the sins of all of the world, all of the sins of all the world, to that tree. He's been lifted up for everyone to see. And from there, he draws all men to himself. He brings us to him. You see, the cross actually reunites us with our God as the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation are bestowed upon us. They're given to us. Because try as we might, even if we tried and we failed, there is no way we could ever do enough to earn our forgiveness. As a result of Jesus' sacrifice for us, we no longer wander aimlessly and blindly in search of a solution to our sin. Now, What we do is we gather at the foot of the cross. We gather at this new tree of life. This new tree of life, and we gaze upon the one who became sin for us so that you and I might be saved. Tree to tree. From the tree of life to the tree of the cross. That's the other life-giving tree, the other tree of life. A journey from life to death and then back to life. We've been restored to life. We've been reunited with our God. And now, each day as we continue our journey through this life as children of God, we focus our eyes on that thing that John talks to us about in Revelation chapter 22. We focus our eyes on what will happen when Christ returns. This is how he describes it. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as a crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. This is the life that's been restored to us. Life everlasting. Life there in the courts of heaven, sitting and working and doing the things of God at the feet of God and in His temple. Life in the very presence of the Lamb. Life that is only ours in Christ Jesus. A return from exile. A return to our God by way of a tree. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen. And amen.